Colossians 3, starting at verse 12. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Wives, submit to your husbands, as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives, and do not be harsh with them. And then our text this morning. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. And then continuing on, bondservants, obey in everything those who are your earthly masters, not by way of eye service, as people pleases, but with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. Whatever you do, work heartily, as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Jesus Christ. For the wrongdoer will be paid back for the wrong he has done, and there is no partiality. Masters, treat your bondservants justly and fairly, knowing that you also have a master in heaven. So far God's word. Let's ask him now for a blessing on this word. Please pray with me. How can a young man or woman, young woman, keep his or her way pure? Heavenly Father, that is the answer is given in your word, by living according to your word, by hiding your word in their hearts. So this morning we pray that you would hide your word in our hearts. Speak to us through your word. Change our hearts through your Holy Spirit. Open our ears, our eyes, and our hearts, we pray. We pray this in Jesus' name, and all God's people said together, Amen. For children, it's not very often that there's a sermon aimed just for you. And in fact, this morning, it's not going to be just for you. This is a message for all of us, but it is a message that the Apostle Paul speaks to you specifically as children. So I want you to listen this morning. I mean, of course, you're always supposed to listen, aren't you? But listen especially this morning. Today's message, though, is not just for children, as we normally think of children. I want you to put your hand up this morning if you've been born. Okay, I want you to put your hand up if you didn't put your hand up. A few there. We've all been born, haven't we? We're all children in some respect. And even if we're not children in the way that we normally use it, and even if our parents have passed on, this message is still a message that we all need to hear this morning. There's an African proverb that says, it takes a village to bring up a child. And we believe that as a church too, don't we? It's not just parents bringing up the children on their own and good luck parents will leave you to it. No, we bring up our children together in a village, in a community. Paul's message this morning speaks to all of us as children, but also specifically to those of us who are younger children also. But not only children. We're going to see, first of all, in our first point, that children should obey, but we're also going to see a message to fathers, and we're also going to see there that the message to fathers is a message to parents. A message to all of us this morning. So this morning, our theme, our take-home message is simple. When children obey parents, the Lord is pleased. When children obey parents, the Lord is pleased. As I said, 2 points. And the first point is children obey. Children obey. Now, to understand what Paul is saying here in the book of Colossians, we need to take ourselves back to that day in Colossians. Boys and girls, in that day, they had none of the things that we have today in our modern society. No cell phones. No computers. No television. No movies. Probably not even bicycles. What would you do if you were a kid in those days? Well, the first thing you'd have to do is survive. 30 to 35% of children died at childbirth. One third of children in those days died at childbirth. 50% of children died before the age of 10. Think about that. Half of all children born were dead at the age of 10. At the age of 5, children would be doing chores. That's not so bad, is it? But at the age of 7, many children would be put to work. You'd have to go out and work, just like mum and dad do. In those days, many children were brought up by the servants in the household. And they think there's a number of reasons for that. The first reason being the high death rate. Parents were often reluctant to attach, to bond with their children because they didn't know whether they would live, survive or not. In a wealthy house, servants would bring up the children. But just like we learned when we were looking at wives, in that day, in that culture, in that society, fathers had all the power. They were the head of the house and what they said went, and there was no questioning that authority. And just like wives in those days, in the general culture, children were simply seen as property. Something that you owned. Something that fathers could do with what they want and dispose of them if they wanted to. If you had a girl and you wanted a boy, well, there was nothing wrong in the society at that time of just quietly getting rid of that child. If you were growing up in those days, boys and girls, it was quite common that you would get a beating. You could even get a beating for not knowing your times tables. If you hear that, if you think about how things were in those days, life is not so bad for you as a child nowadays, is it? It's not so bad at all. But like we saw with wives, like we saw with husbands, Paul here is speaking counter to culture. Now, he doesn't speak counter to culture in telling children to obey. That was assumed. Children, of course you had to obey. But what is different? What changes, what's changed, what Paul says here that's counter culture is the reasons to obey. And we're going to look at those reasons this morning. We're going to look at what Paul says here that makes his command to you children to obey stand out. He begins by saying there in our passage, verse 20, if you're following along in the text, children, obey your parents. Now, when should you obey your parents? Should you obey your parents on Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and every other weekend? Now, Paul doesn't give any qualification here, does he? And what should you obey your parents? What does it say there? Children, obey your parents in... What does it say there, boys and girls? Adults, what does it say there? In... Let's say it together. Oh, children, obey your parents in... Everything. That's right, everything. There's no qualification. It's not, if I don't want to today, if I don't feel like it, I'm not going to obey my parents. In everything. It's not, I don't feel like it today, I'm not going to obey my parents. No, Paul says, in everything. Now, one of my children were younger, I won't name them to embarrass them or maybe embarrass myself, I wanted their first word to be Targo. Sad but true. I was young and not so clever in those days. Targo, I wanted their first word to be. So I tried to train one of my daughters to say Targo first of all. Not surprisingly, I lost. And their first word was Mama. Lesson learned. But not too far along the line, after that word Mama, came the word No. And funnily enough, we didn't train our children to say no, but they learn that word so quickly, don't they? And they don't forget that word either. But Paul says here in our passage, children, to you, there is no room for no. Children, obey your parents, he says. Now, when you're older and as you grow up, you can discuss what your parents have asked you to do, what they tell you to do, but there still is no room for defiance. There is no room for you to say to your parents, no, unless, as Acts 5 verse 29 teaches us, unless they ask us to go against God's will. If your parents say to you, I want you to go and steal something from the supermarket, do you have to obey them, boys and girls? No, you shouldn't obey them. But otherwise, you should obey. And this word obey is important as well there in verse 20. Children, obey your parents in everything. It's not just doing what you were told. It's how you do what you're told. You're asked to sweep out the kitchen, to broom out the kitchen. And it doesn't quite fit into your schedule. You've got things you want to do. You've got things you want to play with. But you feel, well, I better not disobey mum and dad. So you go and you broom the kitchen out. You're done in 5 seconds. And as you're doing it, you're banging around, making a crashing noise so that mum is very clear that you're not happy with what you've asked her to do. Is that obeying your parents? You're doing what you're told. But it's not really obeying, is it? And in this word, obey is the idea of attitude, serving your parents, wanting to please your parents, doing what's asked of you. But why? Why should you obey your parents? Well, Paul in Scripture gives us a number of reasons, and we're going to look first of all to Ephesians 6, just a few pages back if you have your Bibles open. Ephesians 6, verse 1. In Ephesians 6, verse 1, we read, children, obey your parents in the Lord. There's that qualification, and also serving them in the Lord. And why does he say? He says there, for this is right. Why should we obey our parents? Because God says so. This is the way that he's ordained things. This is his plan for families. The way he set things up. But more than that, it's also a command that comes with a promise. Looking, carrying on there in Ephesians 6 verse 2 and following. Honor your father and your mother. This is the first commandment with a promise. Thinking back to the Ten Commandments, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. Now, this passage doesn't mean that if you obey your parents all the time, you're going to live to be 100 years old. But it does mean that the way of blessing, the way that families go well, is when children obediently follow their parents. When you listen to mum and dad, boys and girls. When children listen and obey, when children willfully follow their parents, families go well. But Paul also gives us a reason in Colossians, turning back over the page to Colossians chapter 3 again. Children, obey your parents in what, children? Everything. Yeah, you've got it. Good. In everything. But why do that? Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. This pleases the Lord. Now, this doesn't mean that if you obey your parents, you've got an automatic pass into heaven. Just obey your parents and you're all good with God. Now, that's not what our passage is teaching here. Paul makes it very clear in his gospels, he makes it very clear here. Jesus Christ is the way to salvation. But yet, we please God when we obey our parents. If I can put it colloquially, we make God smile, boys and girls, when we follow what our parents ask us to do. That's a pretty amazing reason to listen to mum and dad, isn't it? To please God. That's part of following Jesus Christ, walking in Jesus Christ, being raised with Jesus Christ, as our passage tells us in Colossians 3, seeking the things that are above, where Christ is at the right hand of God. We follow Jesus Christ by obeying our parents. But before we move on, I want to touch on what we read in Ephesians 6 verse 1 as well. In Ephesians 6 verse 1, there's a command there in verse 2, honour your father and mother. Now that's slightly different to obeying your parents. When you get married, the Bible teaches us that you leave your father and mother and you become one flesh, you become your own family unit. Does that mean you still need to obey your parents in everything? If your mum, or even slightly more challenging, your mother-in-law rings you up on the phone and says, Albert, I want you to clean your room. Do I need to listen to her? Well, it might be a good idea. But the relationship is different. You become your own family unit. But that doesn't mean that you stop honouring your parents. That you stop showing them honour. Now, sometimes it can be difficult. As you grow older, and boys and girls, as you grow older, you learn that your parents aren't perfect. And we're going to talk about that very shortly. Our parents are sinners too. But we should always show them honour. That's part of this command here in Colossians. We should be caring for our parents as they get older. We should be seeking to help as we can. We should be holding them up and honouring them. Are you honouring your parents? Many of you, I know, do. Many of you make many sacrifices. That's part of the command here this morning. When we honour our parents, the Lord is pleased. Paul says in Colossians chapter 3, children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. And then he goes on to speak to fathers, our second point this morning. Fathers, don't provoke. Fathers, don't provoke. Why does Paul say this? Well, he's looking at and talking to fathers and parents, as we shall see, in light of the command to children. Children, obey your parents in everything. How do we help our children to do that? Well, we help them by not provoking them, our second point. Why fathers? Does it mean that mothers never ever provoke their children? No, it doesn't mean that here. But Paul is speaking to fathers as the head of the house, as the leader of the house. To fathers who, just like sometimes in that culture, weren't as involved in the family. Now, what is interesting here in our passage is that Paul doesn't call fathers to love their children. Husbands, love your wives, he said, but not children, not fathers, love your children. Does that mean that fathers don't have to love their children? Of course not. But that's not Paul's point here. What is Paul's point? Well, what does this word provoke mean is the first question we should ask. We normally think of the word provoke as causing to do something. Someone pokes you in the shoulder and keeps poking you in the shoulder, that's going to provoke you to respond, isn't it? Someone drives at 70 k's per hour down the Christchurch motorway when the speed limit is 100, that can provoke you to do something too, can't it? Or at least think something. Or maybe not. But that's not what this word means here. This word provoke in the original language has the idea of causing someone to accept a challenge, to lay out a gauntlet, like a cowboy duel on High Street. Turn up at noon with your weapons and we'll sort this out. A challenge. And Paul's saying here, don't challenge, don't tempt your children to not obey you as a parent. Don't treat them in such a way that they say, I don't want to obey my parents. I don't want to have anything to do with my parents. I'm going to ignore what they ask me to do. What are some ways that we can provoke our children? And yes, fathers first of all, but for both of us as parents, to fathers and mothers. Here are some of the ways that we do provoke our children. We provoke our children when we talk down to them. When we put them down in the way that we speak to them. Or even worse, and I've heard that, and I've heard that amongst us as a church family. When we speak bad about our children, and our children are standing right there beside us. We make fun of them. We make disparaging remarks, and they're standing right there before us, next to us. Brothers and sisters, it should not be so. Those little ears, those big ears, pick up on everything we say. And you cannot convince me that that does not affect and hurt our children. Don't provoke your children by putting them down. We can provoke our children by placing too high expectations on them. That they need to reach some sort of level academically or do something in terms of sports. Work harder. Try better. Why can't you be like so-and-so? That's provoking our children. Now, there's a fine line there. Of course, we need to encourage our children. But we need to be careful in how we do so. We can provoke our children by being no parents. Now, I don't mean like not being a parent, but being no parents. When your default position, your default setting is no. And I can be guilty of that sometimes. They ask something, and before they've asked it, you're already going no in your mind. Maybe you need to work on saying yes as a parent. Are there some times where you could say no, but you could also say yes? We provoke our children when we fail to place boundaries on them. When we don't place guidelines. Our children need rules. And the biggest one, and the most challenging one, is when we're inconsistent. Now, a number of years ago at a youth camp, I got to go on a horse trek. And I know not much about horses. In fact, I know as much about horses as I know about cars. Which is not saying much, is it, Hans? No. The front end and the back end. But I'm sitting on this horse, and I'm kicking it with my feet, but at the same time, I'm pulling on the reins to get it to go. Now, what I'm saying to this horse is stop, go at the same time. And this horse, of course, went nowhere. We can do that as parents when we're inconsistent in the advice that we give our kids. When we say to our kids, you can't have any pudding until you finish your meat. And then 5 minutes later, the meat is still there and your child is eating pudding. If you're going to promise something as parents, brothers and sisters, make sure that you follow it through, because otherwise you're provoking your children. We provoke our children when we parent them, when we take on board, when we absorb into our parenting methods the ways of the world with child-centered parenting. When we try and change their behavior rather than working for their hearts. Because that's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. Bringing our children, teaching up, bringing them up so that they may know Jesus Christ in a saving way. That's the most important job that we have as parents, bar none. So what's your parenting philosophy? What guidelines do you use as you bring up your children? Do you have a philosophy? Have you thought about it? Have you talked about it as husband and wife? You will have one. But what is your philosophy? We provoke our children when we aren't there. And when I say we aren't there, it doesn't mean that we're not physically in the room. We're physically in the room, but we're not present. Our children are asking us questions, and I'm guilty of this myself, and I'm sitting there looking, scanning, touching, and I hear nothing about what's coming in. We're called to engage with our children. But brothers and sisters, parents especially, do you want to know the best way not to provoke your children? The best way to help your children to obey? It's to go back just a couple of verses from our text. It's to read, to live, verses 18 and 19. The best way that you can help your children grow, the best way you can help your children obey, is to work on your marriage together as husband and wife. Model Jesus Christ in your marriage. Place him as the center. Live Jesus Christ in your marriage. Point your children, bring your children to him, because your actions speak louder than words. That's worthy walking. That's training up your children to walk in Jesus Christ. Work on your marriage. Never stop working on your marriage, as we've been encouraged over the past couple of weeks. Mark Twain once said this: "When I was a boy of 14, my father was so ignorant that I could hardly stand to have the old man around. But when I got to 21, I was astonished to find out how much the old man had learned in 7 years. Boys and girls, your parents actually know quite a lot. Listen to them, hear them, obey them, because this pleases the Lord. Parents, be patient, be loving. Look to the Lord as you seek to bring up your children. But as we began this morning, as we're reminded this morning, this is a message for all of us. We are a village here as the Reformed Church of Rangiora. We made a promise at the baptism of our covenant children, not only as parents, but as a church family. We promised, we were asked, will you help bring up this child in the ways of the Lord? So pray for us as parents. Help us as parents. Bring us before the Lord. Help us out as parents. Because this too pleases the Lord. Amen. Let's pray. Gracious God and Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you first of all for our Saviour Jesus Christ, through whom all things are possible. We've prayed it already this morning, but we pray it now. We plead and we pray for you for the salvation of our children. You know the hearts of our children. You also know how much it grieves us, how much it hurts us, how much it pains us that they are wandering away from you, that some of them are running away from you. Turn them back. Bring them back to us. We honor our parents this morning as a church family. We thank you for the work that they do, and we pray that you would give them strength. Bless them. But help us especially as children this morning, as we've heard these words from the Apostle Paul. Help us to follow our parents. Help us to obey our parents. Help us to do so with the right attitude, the right heart, knowing that as we obey our parents, we are serving you. We are following the Lord Jesus Christ. May that encourage us not to say no, but to say yes. Give us strength to do so. Through Jesus Christ we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. As parents, we don't always get it right. But God, our Heavenly Father, always does. And we reflect on that as we prepare for the Lord's Supper with the words of number 103b. O come, my soul, bless thou the Lord, our Maker. And we learn of our perfect Father's love. His love is like a father's to his children, tender and kind to all who fear his name. For well he knows our weakness and our frailty. He knows that we are dust. He knows our frame. Our Heavenly Father knows us. Let's stand and sing these words, verses 1 to 3 and 5 of number 103b. Let's stand.